Yes, people, the time of the morning where we go into our segment, Parliamentary Tunes with Ahmed Manzoor Sheikh Imam. Ahmed, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me, how are you doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning, Ahmed?
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, all is well. Well, we had quite a hectic time going to Valcom, actually, on an oversight with the portfolio committee. But before I get there, I must tell you that it seems like President Cyril Ramaphosa wants to declare Monday a public holiday in light of the death of the Queen and the funeral. And I don't know what has that got to do with us, but be that as it may, yes, she is the Queen Mother of the British. So I don't really see the reason why we should be declaring it a public holiday. ESCOM has gone to stage five, asking, and according to latest information, they need about 500 billion rand. And my fear is just that the United States is trying to support us on trying to provide funding. So it means we're going to have to take further loans here, even though we are very seriously in debt at the moment, to do away with the coal-powered generation. So, yeah, that's going to be another serious problem that we might experience because we are getting more and more into debt. And I know there's an attempt to try out the four-day week to see how it will actually work here. Now, at the welcome, Brother Shepherd, I was shocked at what I heard. And one of it, they, you know, we went on a tour of some of the mines as well. And I can tell you, they even dig the road out. They dig the tarred road out because underneath that there is some minerals that they can pick. So they destroy the entire road. They destroy the area so close to the railway line that the trains derail. But what is shocking is this, the levels of criminality amongst these illegal miners. And there is a guy called One Eye David. Brother Shafa, this man has killed police officers. This man has killed many other business guys or illegal miners. He's killed their wives. You know what was shocking when they tried to move him eventually from Valcom. They wanted to move him to a prison in Kokstad. Do you know what happened with the correctional facilities? The officers at the correctional facilities gave this guy a guard of honor, standing side by side, guard of honor for this criminal. That is how bad it is. And I'm told that he does not hesitate to put a million or 2 million rand tag on somebody, and the next thing is you're gone. If you do a deal with him, okay, you can't win. He's bought a house from somebody. He didn't pay them. They asked for the money, killed him. Yeah. You do a deal with him, he will buy from you, and then he don't pay, you don't like it, he'll kill you. That is how dangerous, and he's a foreign national. So, you know, but what I found is, Brother Shafat, that you know, speaking to the police, they have various problems in the area. One is, can you imagine that the courts are giving suspended sentences to some of these people? Some of them have been convicted and sentenced to 20-some-odd years, and they serve 4 years, and they come back, and the police have to deal with it. The level of police corruption is so high, it is unbelievable. And the police officers are dying because of corruption in the police officers, amongst other police officers as well. But what is important to note, it would look like very big business and very well-connected people are involved in this, including the big mining companies for tax evasion purposes. And so even those that have a license to operate those particular mines, now that those mines, they were supposed to rehabilitate them, they're not rehabilitating them. So it seems like there is what they found is that after it leaves Cape Town, it goes to Gauteng. And from Gauteng, it's exported out of the country. And they're busy with that at the moment. But clearly, big syndicates are involved, very, very big guys, and they believe that it might even be politicians and things that are also influencing these things. So it's quite a serious problem that they have as far as the mining. And now we met the communities, and the community is interested in getting rid of the foreigners, but they want to do exactly the same thing. They want to mine there as well. So these were just some of the things I think that has happened on our oversight visit to Welkom. And, it would appear to me that they're losing the fight against this illegal mining in those areas. They really don't have what it takes to be able to do it, really. I've asked them why they could not. Brother Shafat, let me tell you, the problem is so big, even in deep down, that if any one of those miners, illegal miners, go against any one of them, the next thing they are dead. And the bodies are brought up and left. They picked up about 18 bodies there a couple of weeks ago. And they just come at night, they dump the body on the top. And the next morning, these people find the bodies. That's actually how bad the situation is there. Food goes down. You know, the fire extinguisher. They take out the top, they put the food inside. They make they change the meter to show that it is full. The fire extinguishes, and they take it down to get, and the food, something that costs 15-20 rand, you'll pay 200-300 rand for it. For a meal, you can pay up to 10,000 rand. And they are making something like about an average illegal miner makes in the region of about 60,000 rand a month.
Yeah, it's shocking indeed, Ahmad, the revelations that you have given. But, as you say, the Cyril Ramaphosa perhaps got his, priorities all wrong. And, he wants to acquiesce to the dictates of his masters. You can see which part of his other side is coming out now. But it's also believed, I don't know whether this is a rumor, that Joe Biden is castigating Cyril Ramaphosa for, supporting Russia or not showing enough aversion to them, and that our fruits and our choice grade fruits will not be allowed into Europe and the US and many other things. How true is that, Ahmad?
Yes, there are discussions that's taking place, and don't be surprised if President Cyril Ramaphosa comes back and changes his stance. His neutral stance, and also they are tempting him with this monies that they want to offer us as loans and assistance in terms of being with the coal power generators generation. But clearly, the matter has been on the agenda. It would look like on the issue of South Africa's neutral stance on Russia, and they're not pleased with it at all. So, yeah, we must not, it's not unexpected that they're going to put pressure on President Cyril Ramaphosa, but we'll pick that up in due course and we'll see whether his stance changes or not. But I can tell you that they will then lose a very, very good ally in Russia if they are going to go that route. But remember, he's probably also gone there to get support for the presidential campaign taking place later this year. So yeah, these are just some of the things that we have to be very concerned about. It's, you know, in the country, our problem is that if you look at the president of our country at the moment with the serious allegations leveled against him, he's still going for this conference to be elected as the president. You know, former President Jacob Zuma, I'm told, wants to also be on the top six, although I don't really think he will succeed. But I can tell you that this conference, no matter which way it goes, is going to be contested the way I see it. But you can look at the influence that the outside has on the conference that's taking place in South Africa. So, it's no surprise that President has decided to go and visit Joe Biden. So, you know, you can expect them to provide some level of support to find, you know, to him to win this conference. Yeah.
Yeah, you could see what Joe Biden did with Pakistan. And then you look at the other scenario where, you know, Putin has put Ukraine into the black zone. I mean, a total blackout by hitting some of the power installations. And it says that Ukraine and most of Europe will be using coal power. At one stage, they were advocating clean energy, Ahmed. Your thoughts on that?
Yes, I mean, you can look at the level of hypocrisy. You know, and I'm told that Joe Biden said to President Ramaphosa, don't pay attention to the blackouts in the United States. So, yeah, you know, there's no consistency when it comes to these people. And, you know, President Ramaphosa is, in my view, going to fall into a trap. One, because he's going to this conference, he needs their support. And on the other hand, they want him to support Ukraine and not Russia. He's going to have to compromise if he wants to get the backing of the United States and the British and things leading to his conference. And also, remember, even business, he must have been under a lot of pressure, even locally. You know, because remember, these big business guys, they get their direction from there. Most of them are aligned to either the United States of America or the UK. So, you know, the influence and pressure that they would have also been putting on him is going to make it very difficult for him. But I don't think if he's smart enough, I don't think he wants to get on the wrong side of Russia at this point in time. But we'll have to wait and see exactly what the situation is, what he wants to achieve. My only fear, Brother Shaf, at this moment is this, that you're getting more and more into debt. You're already sitting at, what, 4.5 trillion rand. You're going to be taking more and more. Another 500 billion you're talking about. Where is this thing heading to? Are they not going to put you in a position where you're going to be able to default on your payments? And then what? Your sovereignty is at stake. These are some of the things that we have to worry about. And you are correct that they will put restrictions on purchasing South African citrus and other products. You know, the AGOA agreement that we've entered into is already come to haunt us. Our entire poultry industry is almost coming to a standstill in the country because of this cheap dumping of poultry from the United States particularly. So, you know, these people, you know, when they negotiate, it's not a win-win situation. It's always the West tends to win. And smaller countries like South Africa, in this case, are at the mercy of these people. And if you don't toe the line, then you become a victim like Imran Khan has become a victim now.
Yeah, Ahmed, you're having other meetings coming up. Are we going to let you go? Your parting words before we let you go?
Well, you know, based on what is going on, you saw heard the statement by the Minister of Police talking about the Western Cape and how serious the situation of crime is in the Western Cape. And kidnapping seems to be one of our major problems, I can tell you. But, you know, Brother Shafat, I wanted to share something. You know, I went for a haircut yesterday. And I was shocked because the barber I went to see was also kidnapped. And they demanded about 1.5 million, eventually 150. He says they knew everything about his family, even in Pakistan, even contact numbers of people he didn't even know. But let me tell you the biggest problem, that when his brother had to go and drop off the money, police were following them all the way. But the police did nothing to intercept when he threw the bag out with the money. Police did nothing to stop and arrest those criminals on the road. So clearly, what does that tell you? All indications are that the police are very much involved in it. And there are also syndicates locally working with foreigners, because how would a Pakistani who, he says 5 years ago, he last had a contact number of a relative in Pakistan. They had already contacted that person as well, and he doesn't have the number on his phone either. He gave them no numbers. They contacted all these people in Pakistan as well. So you can see the foreigners are working with locals. problem we're sitting with kidnapping, and it's on the rise. And you know that the Muslim Judicial Council had a meeting with the minister and others, and they are dealing with the matter, but it's not going to be easy to crack this. There is some successes, very limited successes. So my plea to our people out there, just be very, very vigilant, because people very close to you are people that are leaking out this information and making you an easy target. Particularly to business people, I want to say to you, be careful. Even workers that are working for you are also leaking out information, and this is putting you at great risk as well.
Ahmed, what is frightening here is, as you said, the police, you know, are actually watching, playing spectators. I believe there was a scene here in the South Coast where, you know, these people were looting and burning some of the power station or substations and harassing the people of local residents. And there were about 20 policemen that when these guys went to disrupt the power station or, you know, make it not workable, the police just stood by and did nothing, absolutely nothing. I mean, what type of country are we living in, Ahmed?
Yeah, police complacency is a major problem, Brother Shepherd. 35 police officers were arrested and thrown out of the police force in Welkom alone. And, you know, even in this case that I just alluded to on the kidnapping, a relative stopped the police to say that, you know, this guy has been kidnapped. And the police said, no, we can't do nothing. You must first go report the case.
Mm.
And this was, you know, instead of, you know, making some attempt to follow these criminals, that's the answer they gave them. But can you imagine you are following the person who's going to drop off the money, the victim's brother? You are communicating with him. They are saying he must throw the money out of the bag out of the window, which he does. These people grab the money on the road and they're starting to, you know, grab to share. The police are following. They don't arrest them. They do absolutely nothing about it. And the police are there. They can see, in other words, they can see the kidnappers grabbing the money and doing nothing about it. How do you like that? So you can see the problem we're having with police in the country. It's a major problem. Let me tell you, the problem, if I give you like an example of Welkom and things what we're hearing, it's not only the police. It's the prosecutors, the magistrates, all of them are bought off. All of them are bought off to such an extent that they had to take the cases to different areas to go and deal with it. That's how bad it is. And these people apparently even threaten the prosecutors, the magistrates, and all of them. But the collusion between police, law enforcement in the country, and criminals is a major problem. And if you notice in the Western Cape, a lot of the kidnapping victims are all ending up in Khayelitsha. Now, surely, with every one of them ending up in Khayelitsha at this point in time, that the police should have been able to make some breakthrough in that. Nothing, because the police themselves are colluding with these people. That is clear indication that we can't rely on the police. That's the problem.
You know, Ahmed, you talk about this level of criminality. It seems as if, you know, I mean, this happens all over the world. But is it as bad as this? I mean, this could be one of the worst countries in the world, Ahmed.
Yes, I think being a new democracy, more importantly, from where we were to where we are today, you know, I can tell you that we have become like a lawless state. And that's a discussion I had with some of the police officers today that and yesterday that we met. And I can tell you that the problem of policing, you know, there are some very good police officers, some very good police officers. And some of them are dying because of the other corrupt officers. But a lot of the police officers, it's either through fear that they are working with these syndicates. Alternatively, it could be to greed and selfishness. And that's where the problem is. While the minister keeps telling us that they are dealing with these things, they are investigating. But if you look at the number of kidnappings that took place, since March, it's extremely high. There's been 13 in the Western Cape alone. What does it tell you?
But
you're losing the war on kidnapping and things in the country. But the crime, the level of crime, I want to tell you that I think what they've done is very clever. They found that if you notice that there's not as many cash in transit or armed robberies. And I think they found kidnapping, you know, these are soft targets and it's an easier way out. And that is why I think they are targeting. But the fact is that they are working in syndicates, even though they might be copycat syndicates. But they are working and they are getting the information from people that are well connected to business people and know, you know, what they earn, know too much about their business, know about families and everything. And these guys actually, I mean, in this case, they told the victim. No, the victim says, you know, I'm poor, I work, I don't have no money, I only got 4,500 at home. They said, no, you don't worry, we know how to get the money, we'll get the money. And next thing, he can hear them speaking to his relatives in Pakistan. He gave them nothing, not a single number.
Wow. You know, Ahmed, the question here is, during the reign of, Nelson Mandela and Thabo Mbeki, we had law and order. There was no disorder that time. Why was that so?
Well, there are many contributing factors, Brother Shepherd. You know, it's difficult sometimes to compare it. Yes, indeed, I must agree with you. However, the unemployment rate was much lower then. There was at least some level of control over foreign nationals and things coming in the country. You've got to basically compare, you know, apples to apples. What you've noticed is that since 1994, I think the first 5 years was fine, and then everything has been deteriorating and getting progressively worse year in and year out. So Thabo Mbeki might have just been at a time when things were not as bad as it is today. And because of the the criminal justice system is not really working in the country, criminals are now taking advantage of that. I give you a good example: the problems that the police face, that even when they do this, the criminals get bail. If not the same night, the next day they're getting bail. Or they're coming out now on parole as well. So how does it actually help to deal with the high level of crime in the country? Now, I also talk about joblessness in the country. But, Shafat, you know, if your population, or 36% of your population is unemployed and 70 to 80% of your youth are unemployed, and then you've got 4 million foreigners living in your country and a percentage of them are committing crimes as well, you know, how you do you deal with it? Your budget for policing came down. But even if your budget was there, and I say you can put another four times more the number of police officers you got today, they're not going to solve the problem. You need to deal with it holistically. Where it's going wrong? And that's why I say you need to, in fact, we need to start from a school level right now to establish, you know, all those dysfunctional families and things, so we can deal with those problems, to get social welfare involved in the lives of those children and things like that. You know, deal with the issue of abuse of alcohol and drugs and gangsterism in these areas. Deal with the issue of the porous borders and foreigners coming in and out of the country. You know, deal with the scrapyards and things, the licensing departments, because all these are creating a conducive environment for these criminals to continue, because, you know, you won't go and steal a car, right, if you don't have a market for it. You're either taking it out of the border or the scrapyard are breaking it to pieces and selling it. In order to even sell it and take it, you need to get papers for it. So you're colluding with the licensing department, the roadworthies. So the environment is such that criminals can thrive currently. That's the problem.
Yeah, Ahmed, and you know what? Only thing we can do is make du'as and be vigilant. Ahmed, you have a mashallah day ahead. I know you've got a lot of meetings coming up. Allah bless you. Allah keep you. We'll talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.